Friday, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We talked about the nearly unceasing tidal wave of delusional, digressive drivel that comes out of the former MAGA president's mouth. It's not bad campaigning. It's a bad brain. Not a bad campaign, a bad brain. That is the problem. Now, we can have good old-fashioned policy disagreements, but that actually requires some sort of rational intelligence to have such a disagreement. The immigration question. That is a tough, tough question. The Biden-Harris administration put the most aggressive, toughest border bill together in a bipartisan fashion that would have put more border agents on the border, would have created more immigration judges to help process asylum applications faster, would have increased technological investments to secure the border, would have done more than any piece of legislation in modern American history, and Donald Trump tanked it. Because he doesn't really care about American people. He just wants to win. He wants to win not to serve, but to self-serve and self-aggrandize. Today, Kamala Harris announced a number of economic policies to help support the middle class that she would put into place if elected president. I want to review these. There's a lot of them. I'm going to throw in a couple of other recent announcements.
I do have two clips of this that just came out.
Wonderful. Let's take the clips first, then Brian, and then I'll go through the list. Go ahead then, sir.
Some of the people I worked with were raising families on that paycheck. They worked second or even third jobs to pay rent and buy food. That only gets harder when the cost of living goes up. When I am elected president, I will make it a top priority to bring down costs and increase economic security for all Americans. I know most businesses are creating jobs, contributing to our economy, and playing by the rules. But some are not. And that's just not right. And we need to take action when that is the case.
So I think that's part of a buildup to one of the announcements today, that she wants to increase the power of attorneys general, state attorneys general, and the Federal Trade Commission to go after price gouging and try to enact a first ever ban on price gouging for groceries and other essential items for households. I've heard a lot of chitter chatter about this, and like Nixon tried to do this and this isn't going to work. And you, but every single state has a price gouging law. It makes price gouging illegal. And it is actually fairly complex to prove whether price gouging has occurred. It's hard to diagnose it once you get into the financial documents and you can actually identify how much supply side pricing was for the particular good or service. You can analyze it. But every state has an anti-price gouging law that makes it illegal or at least subject to significant civil fines and forfeitures. Does anyone actually think that there aren't many corporations engaging in effectively war profiteering coming out of COVID that aren't engaging in price gouging? So let's unclutch the pearls. Let's understand what the law says about this. And let's look at every tool available to the American people via their government to stop corporations from abusing middle-class families. It's that simple. Look at every tool available, because we all know that this is happening, whether it's greedflation or shrinkflation. Yes, there was a period of supply chain disruption. Yes, that drove prices up. But in many to most industries, the prices for the inputs to create the products are now lower and stabilized. And yet many, many prices remain high. Again, it's effectively war profiteering coming out of COVID. It should be investigated. There's nothing wrong. And in fact, it's a damn good idea for Kamala Harris to be talking about that. Of course, yesterday announcing a massive prescription price negotiation on 10 essential drugs. That deal, which will go into effect in 2026, will save American taxpayers nearly $6 billion. When we talk about what's middle class, one of the things that Kamala Harris has committed to doing is not raising taxes on families and households making $400,000 or less. Now, I hear $400,000, I'm like, that's not middle class. That's rich people. But here in the Midwest, our cost of living is one thing. You go to places like LA, Seattle, New York City, Miami. Families, again, earning less than $400,000. Kamala Harris has made a commitment not to raise their income taxes, potentially look at additional income tax cuts, but she's absolutely committed and announced today that she will look at potentially raising taxes on billionaires and corporations. That's what we should be doing. They need to pay their fair share. If we don't do that, eventually we will put Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid on the chopping block, and that has been the plan all along. What else has Kamala Harris announced today? She wants to increase the child tax credit to $6,000 during the first year of a child's life and restore the Biden administration's child tax credit that expired, that Republicans allowed to expire at the end of 2021, which raised the child tax credit for most families from $2,000 to $3,000 per child that maxed out at $3,600 for the poorest families. She wants to look to invest $25,000 in assistance for a first-time home buyer. This would impact, again, it's you have to income qualify for this. It would potentially impact more than 1 million middle-class American first-time home buyers. She wants to expand housing supply, calling for the creation of 3 million new housing units and proposing a tax credit for developers who build starter homes, homes that are affordable for middle-class families, and invest $40 million in an innovation fund to help tackle the housing crisis. She also proposed an expanded tax credit for housing developers who build affordable housing rental units, which is also a key element to address the housing crisis. She proposed canceling medical debt. In other words, you use federal funds to buy up medical debt. You're often buying that for pennies on the dollar and requiring or then asking the healthcare providers to cancel the bad debt. She proposes an earned income tax credit for lower wage workers up to $1,500 a year and continuing Joe Biden's promise not to raise taxes on American middle class households, which I just mentioned. Extending subsidies under the ACA was proposed today by Vice President Harris for an average savings to American households, middle class households, of $700 per year on their health insurance premiums. She wants to sponsor, again, propose, and would sign 12-week paid leave legislation. Duh. That's probably a good idea. And raising the minimum wage is what Vice President Harris has committed to do. It's about time. It hasn't been raised in God knows how long. And she's also committed to the independence of the Federal Reserve, something that is absolutely essential for any capitalist democracy. Full stop, period. Anybody who tells you anything else is lying or a moron. The Fed is an independent entity and it better, well, stay that way. I wanted to point out before we bring on Terry Barr, we're going to have a little bit of local and overlooked, that this Sunday is the anniversary of the signing of the 19th Amendment giving women the right to vote in 1920. Very important to remember that, because apparently Republicans have forgotten that women indeed can vote because they want to strip us of rights. First time in modern American history where the Supreme Court actually took away rights, that government is not fighting to protect people's rights for more equality, more equity in the way we are treated under the law. J.D. Vance thinks women without kids shouldn't vote. and thinks postmenopausal women, and frankly, that would just, let's just lump in every woman over 40, that their only function is to provide childcare for free, preferably, according to Mr. Vance. This is an anti-woman Republican Party, make no bones about it. And J.D. Vance and Donald Trump are so far out of touch with what most Americans think about reproductive freedom, about healthcare freedom. They are in the business of stripping away freedoms. And they don't understand why women are ticked off about it. Let's listen to what J.D. Vance had to say yesterday on Laura Ingraham about women that care about abortion rights. Let's take a listen.
Well, first of all, I don't buy that, Laura. I think most suburban women care about the normal things that most Americans care about, right? They care about inflation. They care about the price of groceries. They care about public safety.
It's not normal to care about abortion, JD, to care about freedoms, to care about being treated equally under the law. That is JD Vance yesterday. They just do not give one toot about women's freedoms. That is the new GOP under Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. For shame. But I promised you all I would end on a happy note this afternoon and send you all off into the weekend with some good news. We're going to bring on our good friend of the show, Terry Barr. We're going to get in at least one of Terry's stories about what is good and local and overlooked in the state of Wisconsin. Terry, what's your first story that you wish to share with us?
Hi, Maggie. Great to be back with you. If you've driven through Green Bay, you've probably noticed those Packers fences along Lombardi Avenue by Lambeau Field. And of course, it changes every year with every football season. But have you ever wondered, who is this guy or girl that's behind the art on the fence? Well, the guy's name is Spencer Young. He's not going to talk about what he's painting this year. Right now, it's still the Jordan Love that he did last year. It remains there. It looks gorgeous. But he's going to come up with something new. He won't tell us what it is, but he's inviting everybody to watch for it because he's going to be out there, and he's going to reveal it in time for the home opener on September 14th. And the main fence he does is right across from Lambeau Field. Here's the deal, though, that I found out and I love about Spencer Young. He is inspired by his grandfather, who was also an artist and a huge Packers fan. His grandpa said to Spencer when he was young, be an artist. If this is what you love, do what you love. So Spencer decided, yeah, okay, I'm going to be an artist. I can be any kind of artist. And now look what he's doing. And millions of people see it every year. This is his 10th year. Again, the new design will be revealed in time for the home opener, September 14th, Maggie.
Wonderful. We're going to bring Terry back after these brief messages for our second story of what's good, local, and overlooked here in the state of Wisconsin. I'm looking forward to seeing what Spencer comes up for the 2024 Packers season. Keep it locked, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back with Terry Barr after these brief messages.
Life is pain, Highness. Anyone who says differently is selling something.